It's Thursday, December 24th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, Iraqi forces take aim at Islamic State in Ramadi.
The vaccine actually is given in three-dose schedule with a six-month interval. It is being given from 9 years of age up to 45 years of age.
A new vaccine hopes to combat the world's fastest-growing mosquito-borne disease. Also ahead, prison food escapes to the community at large, and a new singer emerges that even parents can like. It's all coming up on today's International Edition. Iraqi security forces, aided by U.S.-led coalition airstrikes and Sunni tribesmen, have advanced on the center of the provincial capital of Ramadi, about 100 kilometers west of Baghdad, in a weeks-long offensive to wrest it from Islamic State fighters who captured that city in May. U.S. Army Colonel Steve Warren, an Operation Inherent Resolve spokesman, briefed reporters on the fight, saying an IS defeat is now inevitable.
We're encouraged by this tactical development, which is a continuation of the progress we've seen over the last several weeks. There's still a long way to go before we can declare Ramadi is completely clear. There is a lot of dense terrain here that needs to be negotiated. Booby traps, IEDs, the presence of enemy fighters who are fighting fairly hard. The numbers aren't really high, I wouldn't say, but it's not very easy to maneuver through that terrain, and so it doesn't take much in the way of defensive capability to hold, you know, the attackers back. Well, as the air power intensifies, as the Iraqi security forces draw closer in, as the pressure builds, it stands to reason that the civilian population will soon realize that the end is near and be a little bit less fearful of ISIL's ability to hold them.
Ramadi's civilian population is believed to number between 4,000 and 10,000 who are, for the most part, trapped. Warren said Iraqi forces had dropped leaflets telling the residents what routes to take to escape. James Jeffrey is a former ambassador to Baghdad and is now a distinguished fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He told VOA's Victor Beatty, while the IS fighters are relatively small in number, they have had months to dig in and will be difficult to dislodge.
We've seen this on many fronts. You need overwhelming forces, American airstrikes, and an awful lot of time. And, of course, what we've talked about before is I'm not so sure time is on our side.
Meaning what, sir?
A, ISIS's ability to launch terrorist attacks. B, ISIS's control of much of Iraq and Syria. C, the impact of that on the Syrian civil war. D, the possibility, if we're not careful, that this will slip out of control into a Sunni-Shia war. And E, the fact that ISIS's continued presence is giving Putin the excuse to intervene massively all over the region, doing almost everything to expand his power and reduce ours, while doing very little against his ostensible goal, degrading ISIS.
Does that lend more credence to the significance of a victory in Ramadi?
Victory in Ramadi is a good thing. We need more of them. I think that in other cities, particularly in Mosul, in Raqqa, and parts of eastern Syria, we'll find that these people fight even harder with more forces. One thing of note is, while Shia militias were not involved, a fair number of Sunni Arabs have been involved in the fighting in Ramadi and elsewhere in Anbar. There we have the largest concentration of Sunni Arabs who are fighting with the Iraqi government and with us against ISIS. That may not be the case in other areas.
Are U.S. forces at all involved directly or indirectly?
Well, they're involved, first of all, in the airstrikes, secondly, in planning and coordinating missions. They're not as involved as I would like them to be. They're not as involved as Secretary Carter wants them to be because the Iraqis did not, as far as I can see, accept his idea to use Apache helicopters and perhaps to move troops closer to the front.
Is that because Baghdad is somewhat beholden to Iran and wants to keep on good relations with Tehran?
To some degree, but another degree is Baghdad knew that it was probably going to win this thing and felt that it would not have as much criticism from Iran and from the Shia militias and Shia members of parliament if it could do it on its own rather than a lot of very ostentatious help by the United States. The problem is Ramadi is one battle of many. And in other areas, there's going to be more need for us to be more active.
The recapture of Ramadi would be the second major urban area taken from Islamic State this year, after Tikrit fell to Iraqi security forces in April. But Islamic State continues to hold Fallujah, Tal Afar, and Mosul. Meanwhile, a report released Wednesday by rights group Amnesty International says Russia's air campaign in Syria has killed hundreds of civilians and caused massive destruction in residential areas. The rights group claims that the pattern of Russian attacks shows evidence of violations of international law. There is reaction on social media, as we hear Olen Akasulu tell International Edition colleague Michael Lippin.
Amnesty International has been very active in trying to get this report shared on social media already, and it's been tweeting out different facts from the report using Twitter handles like @AmnestyPress and @AmnestyOnline. And Anya Neistat, she's of course the senior director for research at Amnesty International, she tweeted a link to an interactive map showing the location of Russian airstrikes in Syria and some reports on casualties and the damage caused in each strike. For people that are interested in reading the full report, they can actually go online and read the whole document. It's being hosted on Amnesty International's website, and different Amnesty International Twitter handles have been tweeting out links to make it easy to find.
Well, how have social media users been reacting to this report?
Well, oftentimes the Russian Foreign Ministry tweets a response when Russia becomes the focus of international news like this, but that hasn't been the case with this latest Amnesty International report. So far, people have been tweeting the different facts shared by Amnesty International, retweeting rather, but looking at how people are responding to the report on Twitter, Amnesty International Online, they tweeted out a link to the report from the handle @AmnestyOnline, and people who responded to the tweet were mostly people saying that the report singles out Russia and saying Turkey is also responsible for human rights abuses in Syria, specifically against Kurdish fighters. But the report is still hitting social media. The response may change as it starts to get more attention from Twitter users.
And you can follow us on Twitter. International Edition's handle is @VOA_IE. I'm also out there @VOA Stevenson. This is VOA.
One of the world's great cities, the gateway to America for generations. VOA brings you New York in 12 rarely seen views. Presenting the 2016 VOA calendar, a gift from us free for the asking. Just send us your mailing address in an email to calendar@voanews.com, and you can have New York's beauty grace your wall all next year.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This is VOA's International Edition. The Philippines has granted approval for the sales of a new dengue vaccine, following Mexico as the first two countries to allow the treatment. As VOA correspondent Steve Herman reports from our Southeast Asia Bureau in Bangkok, this vaccine could stop the potentially deadly virus that is transmitted by mosquitoes and can cause crippling fevers and pain.
Dengvaxia comes at a time when a safe and effective vaccine is urgently needed, according to the World Health Organization. Dr. Joselito Santa Anna, head of dengue vaccine operations in the region for Sanofi Pasteur, says the vaccine has been demonstrated effective against all four dengue virus types.
The vaccine actually is given in three-dose schedule with a six-month interval. It is being given from 9 years of age up to 45 years of age. This is the age range wherein most of the dengue cases are being reported, particularly in endemic countries here in Asia.
The vaccine's maker is hailing it as an important tool to reach the World Health Organization's objective on dengue, for which children are at particular risk.
Together with vector control, it will form an integrated approach in reducing dengue mortality by 50% and reducing the dengue morbidity by more than 25% by 2020.
Clinical tests were carried out on 40,000 people from 15 countries. Some two-thirds of those over the age of 9 were deemed to be protected, and the vaccine was found to be 93% effective against the most severe form of the disease, dengue hemorrhagic fever. While being hailed as a breakthrough, there is concern about whether it will provide significant protection in the long term. Another question mark is cost. Newly developed pharmaceutical products are frequently very expensive when they initially go on sale and not affordable for many patients. But Dr. Santa Ana says the vaccine's maker wants to maximize the access to all populations, while acknowledging the market price of Dengvaxia has not yet been established.
We are committed to offering a fair and equitable price for the vaccine that is sustainable both for the company and the government who is going to implement it in the public program.
The vaccine, in development for 25 years, has been submitted for licensing in 18 other countries in Asia and Latin America, where dengue is endemic. Pharmaceutical companies in Japan, Britain, and the United States are also developing dengue vaccines. Dengue was traditionally a disease primarily confined to the tropics. Now about half of the world's population is considered at risk due to urbanization, jet travel, and climate change. Dengue cases have soared 30-fold in the last half century, according to the WHO, with an estimated 400 million people now infected annually. Steve Herman, VOA News, Bangkok.
With Christmas, New Year's, and other celebrations upon us, you may be planning a special meal or two for the holiday season. One food item not normally considered for such a meal is ramen noodles. It, of course, has been the staple for students and young people just starting out, even struggling people to make ends meet because it's inexpensive and easy to make. Well, now, from a prison in California, former inmate Gustavo Goose Alvarez and his childhood friend Clifton Collins Jr., who is a Los Angeles-based actor who has appeared in films such as Pacific Rim, Transcendence, and Titanic, have published a book, Prison Ramen. Clifton joins us now to tell us how this idea got started.
I went to go visit him. I just returned from Iowa because I was shooting The Experiment with Adrian Brody and Forrest Whitaker. And we'd had our own little fake movie riot. Unbeknownst to me, I walk into the production office and I see that Chino had their own riot. So I was like, oh my God, my dude's over there. So I tried to get a hold of family and friends to find out if he's okay. And then when I came home and the prison got off a lockdown, I went to go visit him. And he pitched me this idea about a ramen cookbook because that's what everybody eats in there. And also at the end of the night when the riot was over, they left all the inmates outside, but the Goose was inside, and he was able to get a bunch of the inmates together to cook a big old ramen spread. And they were able to feed the inmates through the door. They'd make these dishes of ramen. They would feed everybody all night long until the sun came up.
Now, this riot was between two different groups of prisoners, correct?
Yeah, between the blacks and Latinos. But once the riots are over, it's business as usual. And at the end of the day, everybody knows that they're all under the same roof in the same prison. So, you know, that compassion kicks in and, you know, humanity kicks in.
And in this case, it was ramen that kicked in, something that really brought everybody together.
Yes, sir. It certainly did. And it did for this book, too. I mean, it got me to sit down with all, a bunch of different, my different celebrity friends. I've got many more that want to do book two now. When others get to learn from your mistakes and they don't have to actually do your mistake, that's a beautiful thing.
How much of a surprise was it to you when your friend pitched you this idea?
I mean, my jaw hit the floor. It's like I'm sitting there at a table on the yard and I can still smell the burnt ashes from the dorms. He's like, I got an idea. Ramen cookbook. What do you think, Cliff? I'm like, okay. Are you all right? Yo, there's a riot here. Are you okay? Yeah, but a ramen cookbook, Cliff. Yeah, I heard you. So it was like, then we got into it, and I got the sentiment of it and the emotions and the intent behind it. That was profoundly beautiful to me. And I thought, how do we bring more of this message out? How do we touch more people? Because people are in and out of prison all the time, and there's different forms of incarceration. There's college, financial incarceration, emotional, love. So this is definitely a special book. And we donate a portion of the proceeds to Homeboy and Father Greg, which is a beautiful thing.
Clifton, I'm sure you've had plenty of ramen in your day, but were you surprised by some of the recipes that came out of this?
No, not at all. I've been around it too long. You know what? I take that back. There might have been a couple little like, huh? the ramenagra we had to talk about, the ramenagra for the conjugal visit. I was like, come on, man. Oysters and clams and then... I mean, he put his stamp of approval on. He says, Cliff, trust me, dude, this is like, this is what the homies, when the lady comes and you need to impress, this is what you eat. I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it.
So it's food that really transitions out of prison into normal life.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah, you'd be amazed at how many of my friends I was talking to, right, I had to confess that I started eating ramen again, and they started laughing and would take me into their kitchen and open up a drawer filled with ramen.
Now that you're embarking on a second book, do you find that more difficult to be more creative, or are there that many more recipes out there?
Oh, there are a slew of recipes. We're not into the second book yet, but I've already got quite a few people coming up to me for book number two.
As our listeners get their hands on this book and look through some of the recipes, are there things that they need to be aware of as they try to do this at home versus how these were concocted in prison?
They're easier to cook, obviously, because you're not in jail. They're all just delicious dishes, man. You just got to sit down and freaking go into them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Clifton, great job on this. Thank you so much, and give our best to Goose as well.
Most definitely. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
Actor Clifton Collins Jr. The book is titled Prison Ramen, Recipes and Stories from Behind Bars. It's available from Workman Publishing. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
You likely did not know his name a year ago, unless you happened to go to school with him. But now one of the hottest new singers has quickly gained worldwide attention. VOA Border Crossing's Larry London tells International Edition host Susan Yockey and us about this young star with a new album and award nominations.
He is one of the hotter names in music today, and there's good reason for it. His name is Charlie Puth, nominated for 3 Grammy Awards for his debut effort, and also a Golden Globe, which is in the Best Original Film Song category, for a song called See You Again, which features Wiz Khalifa and is in the film Furious 7, and gained Charlie Puth an awful lot of attention this past year. So now he's got his new album coming out, his debut album, which is 9-track Mind. It comes out in January, and he's already had 2 singles off the album. Today we're going to hear the second single.
That's One Call Away?
Yeah, One Call Away.
Call me, baby, if you need a friend. I just want to give you love. Come on, come on, come on. Reaching out to you, so take a chance. No matter where you go, no, you're not alone. I'm only one.
The first song was Marvin Gaye, and it's a song that he recorded with Meghan Trainor, and the song did very well for him. Now, he's only 24, but yet he told me that he's been influenced by a lot of old R&B music. And he said, interestingly enough, that when he was in high school, not too long ago, he never went out on a date, never left his house.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Every mom's dream. He just stayed at home, did his homework, and then would shut his door and would start writing music. Huh. He's always loved music, writing music, creating music on his computer in his bedroom. In fact, he said it's very ironic that it was 1 year ago, this January, he signed his record contract, his very first record contract. If you went back a year ago, he was writing the song Marvin Gaye in his bedroom. So he said it's kind of odd how it's all come together, and now the new song is out, and it's doing well for him also.
Well, what kind of crowd does he attract?
He attracts all ages because he's the kind of kid that, you know, moms love, and the young 12-year-olds, tweens, they love him as well. And he's an it guy right now. As I say, he gained a lot of attention and popularity for See You Again, which features a very famous rap hip-hop star, Wiz Khalifa. And so he's been writing music for a lot of people, and there's a lot of buzz about his upcoming debut album, Nine Track Mind.
I was going to ask, what was your impression? I mean, you got to speak with him. What did you think he was like?
He was nice. He was friendly, talkative, a little nerdy, but that's okay. I mean, you know, he was very, very nice guy. And you know, he deserves all the attention and success he's getting. In fact, he admitted he cried when he heard that he was nominated for 3 Grammys. He never expected that. But he said he got off an airplane and his phone, immediately the text started coming in, 100 texts. Everything was urgent, 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 mm-hmm. urgent. And he thought, oh, my God, something happened to somebody. And then when he read further, he found out the good news.
He thought it was him.
Yeah, he found out it happened to him. And he was taken by it. He was moved.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Larry.
And thank you very much, too. Oh, and by the way, he's got a new song also coming out with Selena Gomez. Just thought I'd throw that in as well.
Thanks.
One Call Away is the latest song from Charlie Puth. Along with some Charlie Puth, you've been listening to International Edition. You can find us at our website, voanews.com. We're also on Twitter, our handle at @VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, our engineer Daryl Smith. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Vietnamese human rights lawyer and blogger Nguyen Van Dai was arrested on December 16th by Vietnamese authorities. The United States is deeply concerned by the arrest of Nguyen Van Dai for alleged propaganda against the state under national security-related Article 88 of Vietnam's Penal Code. It is the same charge on which he was sentenced to 4 years in prison in 2007. If convicted, he faces 3 to 20 years in prison. Mr. Dai writes occasional blog posts for Radio Free Asia, or RFA. In a recent interview with RFA, he described how authorities have been harassing him and the people working for Lon Tom, an independent web TV channel, since its launch last August. In addition, Mr. Dai reported, policemen in Nay An province assaulted him on December 6th, after he organized a meeting related to human rights. The United States urges Vietnam to ensure its laws and actions are consistent with its international obligations and commitments. We call on the government to release unconditionally all prisoners of conscience, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby, and allow all individuals in Vietnam to express their political views without fear of retribution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.